Well, it just seems like we did this an hour ago. Welcome back, Upstate Outdoors. I almost went into the start of the show again.
Well, it's okay, PJ.
It's like two shows because we're hot seating
today.
You're drunk on
Smoky Dreams Barbecue.
Yeah. It's at, well, I can't say MSG because Chris said they don't use MSG,
no.
But it's whatever.
Secret sauce.
Welcome back to the, secret sauce. It's that rub. I don't know about that. But
I like
we got to welcome Sergeant Green Jeans, First Sergeant Amy Staten to the show again. Amy, welcome.
Thank you.
You can't just smile at the microphone. You got to say something.
And this is the first time she's ever done the show with us out of uniform.
I am. I have dedication.
Woman, what's wrong with you? Put your clothes on.
I'm just saying. I love you guys so much. I come in on my day off.
And we appreciate it.
She come in buck naked, said, "Is this good?" And
she was already asking PG, she wanted to check his tags and make sure he shoots them all.
I said, "You're going to have to put some clothes on for you check my tags."
Yeah.
Put that gun back on. But we've been talking about all kind of stuff on the show today, and we're going to keep on talking about a whole lot of stuff. Maybe get into I won't say that the seasons are winding down because really and truly hunting season, which comes in about September with dove season, is about halfway through. But
right.
I guess when you start getting toward the end of deer season is when a lot of folks go, hunting season's winding down.
Yeah, unless you like to hunt stuff with feathers.
Yeah.
There's pretty much that and small game. That'll be about the only thing that's left until the gobblers come in.
Yeah.
In March.
And I tell you what, in trapping season.
Yeah, trapping.
I wish I was closer to my hunting land because, man, I got some raccoon. I've got a taste for killing.
I bet you them dokers has gained 20 pounds this year.
They have. And I have gotten a taste for killing raccoons.
Oh, my God.
And I couldn't tell that story because I was afraid you might be listening about free shooting them in my garage. So
it's within 100 yards of your house.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
It's
game on, just as long as you don't live in the city limits. I can't help you.
No. So within 100 yards of my house, year round?
Yep, year round.
I got a license, but even if I don't.
Right. Deer, bear, and turkeys are off limits.
Oh, okay.
But any type of nuisance animal like
squirrels, chipmunks,
raccoons.
What's the code on actually shooting them in your garage in your underwear? Well, is there a code in the book on that?
That would fall under indecent exposure.
Yeah, that's what they thought. Well, hey, before we get too far behind,
oh my gosh.
I'm gonna stay with the schedule.
I like it.
Makes me pee.
All right, everybody, as we've been talking about, me and Phillip's going to be at the Clinton House Plantation next week, and I'm going to show these boys how a dude with cross eyes can shoot birds, okay? And that's just the bottom line. I'm putting it on the line, going to get her done, come back, the champ, all right? We need two pheasants, and this is pheasant in sour cream casserole. We need two pheasants, and what you need to do is you need to cut them up in frying pieces. Just kind of put in your mind it's a little chicken. Same way you would do a chicken as far as quartering it and so forth. You need some flour, about a teaspoon of thyme, and that's T-H-Y-M-E, salt and pepper, one stick of butter, a medium onion chopped, a half a pound of mushrooms, and sliced, 2 cups of sour cream and a half cup of chicken broth. All right, what you're going to do is mix together the flour and the thyme and the salt and pepper to your taste, and then you're going to roll the pheasant in the flour, and saute in about 6 teaspoons of the butter. All right, so what you're going to do is you're going to take those after you roll them into flour, the pheasant, and you're going to basically brown them in the butter. All right, and then you're going to remove the pheasant. All right, add the rest of the butter and saute the onions and mushrooms. All right, place the pheasant, onion, and mushrooms in a casserole dish. All right, stir the chicken broth and the sour cream together, and all you do is pour this over this, make sure as much of it is covered as possible, and then cover and bake it in the oven at 350 degrees for about an hour, and I like to serve it over wild rice with biscuits, and that's what I'm going to do with the ones I killed, I promise you that. And, Philip keeps telling me, we're going to have some pheasants thrown in there, so I'm really looking forward to that, and Matter of fact, today I'm going to probably practice and probably shoot at a couple of, I don't know, dove off the back. Oh, we got sergeant with me today.
No, they're in season.
Yeah, but I'm shooting them off the back porch over bird feeders.
Well, they're within 100 yards. That qualifies as a nuisance. Yeah.
Miss Amy, let me tell you something. Miss Amy, last weekend I told Philip, you know, when we start getting these cold fronts, those bigger birds start showing up. And I've usually got 20 or 30 at all times on my bird feeders. And last Saturday, man, there was a wad of them come in, and it looks like because they've been eating. And it's them big birds that come down from up. I mean, they're huge. Right.
They were Ohio State fans.
They were huge. And I was like, good God. So I had about, I had about 65 at one time on three bird feeders. Yeah, I had some of the local birds, and then the big ones come over there and just bully them little skinny South Carolina ones out of the way.
Bless them.
It was pretty cool.
They were telling them how to do it.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm still eating more barbecue because I had a talk during the last hour.
But it's all good, man. You just have at it.
Amy, how's the I can't really say how's ticket sales going because, you know, they don't really do that. But has it been a busy season?
It has been a busy season. We have the deer tags to check, and, you know, we work a lot of trespassing, and we work a lot of nighttime activities, a lot of the illegal activities
that go on.
Oh, yes. Almost every night.
Now, does it make it more difficult since they pass a law about, you know, allowing, you know, hog hunting and coyote hunting and stuff like that?
No, because you know what these guys are after whenever
they try to flip it around? Oh, no, we're hog hunting.
They try. You hear everything in the book, but, you know, the biggest thing that hunters need to do, if they know where a big buck is at, especially a big, you know, a trophy for this area,
mm-hmm.
loose lips will get that deer killed
Bingo.
Quicker than anything.
Bingo.
You got to keep your mouth shut where the big deer are at because these people will ride around at night waiting for... You know, waiting for Bullwinkle to come out, and then they'll just try to pop him from the side of the road. So,
in your jurisdiction, you're covering Greenville and Spartanburg County?
I do, yes.
Just those two counties?
I do. I can work in any county and up to 200 miles off of the coast.
Oh,
thank goodness I don't have to go off the coast.
Yeah, you can go out there and hang out with Chip and catch some great whites.
Yeah, there you go. You got a tag for that?
I would be afraid that the SS Minnow wouldn't come back, so I don't want to go 200 miles off the coast.
Roger.
So a lot of night hunting, road shooting, mm-hmm. I bet you, is there more than in northern part of the county or southern part of the county? Or can you say?
No, I mean, it happens everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... You know, people listen and they see people posting the pictures of these big bucks that they have on their property, and then they go and they look for them at night. And, you know, some people would much rather do that than they would try to hunt them legally.
Yeah.
Because they think it's easier or what have
you. Or if they don't have permission to hunt land.
And some people, it's kind of an addiction. One of the guys that... we got, I think it was about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago. That was the second time we've caught him in 2 years.
Golly!
Yeah. So this time will not be, you know, the first time was a more of an education process. He lost his weapon and you know, he had to go through all of the stuff, but the judge, you know, it was his first time and the judge might have been a little more lenient on him. Not this time. He took the ride, car got towed, he lost everything this time. So it's
worth it.
It's not worth it. It's really not.
Well, I'll do it after the break. I already got a question for Miss Amy. And it's a legit question, too.
Well, and I want to open that up if you've got, you know, we got time, and normally we don't because I just stack so much stuff in there. But if you've got a, and I hate to do this to you, put you on the spot, but you get it
but
all the time.
You already got a real good one. I mean, it's a real good
one.
The
Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307 if you want to ask Sergeant Staten a DNR question. And a lot of this ends up being, well, hang on, let me look up what the book says. It's on the internet.
And also, you know, it's easier for us, you know, not that we don't mind if you call in, but it's really easier for us to go through it in a short time frame we have as a text. It really helps a lot.
Yep. So duck season. Open today.
Mm-hmm. It did.
And we'll talk about that when we come back from our break in just a couple of minutes.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. I'm Philip Gentry. I'm Tommy Springer. That's Philip Gentry. And we got Sergeant Amy.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, Sergeant Amy in the studio. And stay tuned. We're going to come back at you on the flip side. one of my favorites.
Yeah, we come to shoot the rooster.
Hey, you can't.
Ain't no tags for them. I don't know if DNR gets you for shooting somebody's rooster or not.
No, that'd probably be the county.
I got it.
Miss Moneypenny got it.
Yeah. So what do we got? We got anything we can say on the text line?
All right, first thing I got to do is tell Miss Amy hi from the Pickle Man.
And the Pickle Man?
She knows exactly
what
we're talking
about. Is there a story behind that?
Nope. He's the Pickle Man. We call him the Pickle Man. He sits up at around Bald Rock, Caesar's Head area, jams, jellies, and pickles.
Awesome.
Yep. Local vendor.
And I got one of my neighbors telling me that my welfare hummingbirds has went and told the doves and spread the word, and I'm raising a yard full of sanctuary city lazy doves. Okay, that's cool. All right, here's the serious stuff. Can you ask Miss Sergeant Green Jeans where I can find info on managing household trash in Bear Country, type of trash cans and source, etc.? I'm house hunting in the mountains. There you go.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, if a bear wants in there, he's going to get in there. I don't really know of any...
You're supposed to say, call Tammy Wachter.
Yeah, well, I was going to throw that out there.
But we were under the bus all the time.
But the big thing is keep your trash taken off. Don't let it sit around for a couple days or anything, because the bears come to the trash, and, you know, a lot of people, they're like, well, the bear isn't scared of me. Well, he's not going to be, because he knows you're not a food source, and he knows you're not a threat, because he knows your scent. And so he's not going to be scared, and he's not going to run away from you.
And they're that smart.
They are. So the big thing is, take your trash off on a regular basis. Do not, if you live in Bear Country, don't leave McDonald's Happy Meals inside your car.
Where is not Bear Country anymore? I mean,
yeah, I got
if you're
educated.
If you're up around Highway 11, yeah. But I mean, people think, oh, well, you know, and I get that if you're up there, but how far down? Well,
they're all over the state.
Highway 29 now?
No, it's all over the state, but there's a higher concentration from like Highway 11 and up,
right?
Because, you know, that's where more of the land has not been developed versus down below Highway 11.
Yep.
And so the acorns and, you know, the natural food sources are there. So there's going to be a higher concentration of bears there. But we have them all over the state. So it's not unusual for them to be in places that they're not normally seen in, because they travel.
How many did you check this year? Because you got to check every one of them that's killed during bear season.
We didn't have a real good running season. It was better on the steel hunt. Steel hunt. And those, I only saw a few just because they've got a certain time frame to be able to call it in and to get it checked. And most of them end up at the processors before we ever, you know, before we get to the tags and stuff. So. But they call them in and check them in through Clemson. I think it's a 24-hour window.
You got to call within 24 hours of killing a bear. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a good thing. We were talking to Tammy Wachter, the biologist from DNR.
Yeah.
Actually had her in the studio, too, during the bear season. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, we're – and I think I don't know that they broke a record, but there was better than average number of bears killed this year.
Yeah, like I said, the steel hunt did really well, but not so much for the running season in the Greenville, mountain, our portion of the mountain hunt unit. So, but what I was going to tell you a funny story. We had this has been many years ago. We had somebody that left McDonald's a Happy Meal inside of their car, and it was around the Mountain Lake Colony as you're going up to Caesar's Head and Bald Rock.
Yep.
And I guess the bear wanted the Happy Meal, and he ripped the door off of the car.
Good God!
Wow.
So a trash can, you know, that's the biggest thing. Keep your trash up. If you live in Bear Country, keep your trash up. Unfortunately, don't feed your animals outside and take those bird feeders in.
Yeah,
because
I knew you was
they
getting
will
there.
Eat every, mm-hmm. So when Springer starts getting a bunch of bears in his yard, all those little tweeties are going away.
That's what Miss Tammy told me, because we was talking off the air, and I told her where I lived and more and around the South Tiger Ridge. She said, they're already there.
Oh,
I was like, oh, good God.
Oh, yeah. We have a large population in Spartanburg County, and fingers crossed, hopefully we're going to have a hunt this year in Spartanburg.
Wow. Got another great question for you, Sergeant Amy. I need to keep a quickly deployable rifle in my truck for coyote and hog control on the farm. Been told a 30-30 with a loaded tube but empty chamber is considered to be a loaded rifle and could cause me to be considered to be deer hunting from my truck. Any legal way I can do this?
Oh, wow.
Carrying a rifle in your truck.
And it's got them in the tube.
If you're on your own private property,
right?
The big thing is don't be on the public roadway.
I gotcha.
If you're on your private property and you are protecting your property, and you see something, yes, you can sling it out the window and shoot. You're okay. Fine. But a public road,
right.
And a WMA road.
Ooh.
Yes, do not be carrying a loaded, uncased gun on WMA roads, which is our wildlife management areas, because that will get you a ticket in a heartbeat.
Loaded and uncased.
Yes.
I'm trying to think if I'm breaking it now.
Okay, here's another one that I can already answer.
That's on WMA. You're not on WMA right now.
No, I'm not. I'm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're good.
I don't want somebody breaking in my truck while we're on the radio.
I got another one here. I can answer this. Is she married? Yes, she's happily married and has two beautiful blonde-headed little green jeans. Okay. And how late can you deer hunt after official sunset?
You have 1 hour after official sunset to get out of the woods. So if you see one a few minutes. You know, you have that 1 hour window before official sunrise and 1 hour after official sunset.
No, wait a minute, to get out of the woods.
Well, I mean
to shoot
and to get what you need and get out.
Okay, so now what happens? Let's say you kill a deer, and a lot of this is going to be extenuating circumstances.
Right.
Let's say you kill a deer and he lays up, and you give him an hour, and of course it's after dark, and then you come up on him, and he's mostly dead,
right?
But not quite.
And you cap him off.
Let us know if you shoot a deer and you're looking for it and you know that it's wounded. You use that 1-800-922-5431. Call our Operation Game Thief dispatch hotline number. Ask for a game warden in your area. Let us know what's going on, because that could save us a trip.
Right.
And that could save you a whole lot of problems
and headache.
Yes.
Well. That's a letter of law. I get that.
Yeah, and this one's really, this is one I was picking Miss Tammy brain about. When can I shoot a bear in defense? Does it need to actually be mauling my kids
or just looking at them? You got to be in defense.
Oh,
I asked her the same question.
Well, the big thing of it is we live where the bears roam. So we're living in their habitat and they are around. If you have a bear that is just kind of hanging around and you've taken your scraps up, you don't put scraps up, you take your trash up, your bird feeders, your dog food, all of its food source, it should move on. Occasionally, we do have the rambunctious bears, like the ones that rip the door off of the car.
Usually a young male.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually a young, strong male. And if the bear is, if you are in fear for your life, and you think that bear is coming to get you, you do have a right to protect yourself, but that is not meaning that you won't be charged. So you have there. So in other words, if the bear has a rifle shot to its rear end,
okay,
because
there
it's
go.
Running
there
away. That is not self-defense. That bear was hauling tail and you shot him in the rear end just to kill him.
And the other thing would
great
be,
point.
The other thing
good,
would
Ms.
be
Amy.
If somebody's deer hunting and they see a bear, he was coming towards me. He was coming towards you at 80 yards.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean,
walks up underneath your deer stand.
I will say this, and knock on wood and a hard head, we have never had a bear attack in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And we're pretty proud of that. And, I mean, it could happen tomorrow. But we've never, a bear out in the wild, we've never had that happen. If you're in fear for your life, but you're going to have to prove that.
Right.
You're going to have to prove that it was that type of case.
Because
the solicitor will decide whether it's going to go forth or not.
Is that the biggest number of nuisance calls you get is for bears? Or
no.
Is it? What's the biggest number of nuisance calls?
It's according to what part of the year it is. From May until about July, that it's bears.
Yep.
Hands down, is bears.
Yep.
Any other time, deer, deer being hit as they're crossing the road. Every time someone sees a fox or a raccoon out in the daytime, they automatically think that they've got rabies.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the case. And I will tell everyone listening, possums cannot carry rabies. Their body temperature is too low,
Bingo.
So they cannot harvest the virus. They can't harbor the virus.
They just like to eat ticks.
Yeah, ticks and fleas. So you can't get those.
So don't call me if you see a possum.
Right, and we don't do snakes.
Don't do snakes.
We do not do snakes. We can refer you to a nuisance wildlife rehabber, but we do not do snakes.
Hired killers.
Yeah. There you go. Well, let's go to our break. When we come back, we will continue with your texts and our discussion with Sergeant Amy Staten with the Department of Natural Resources right after the break.
Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. Tommy Springer, Philip Gentry, Sergeant Amy. Stay tuned.
Well, I guess we slowed down on our animal idioms that I challenged all of our listeners during the first part of the show, during last hour. You know, we got the parting shot for today, Amy, is the PETA is asking people to do away with their idioms.
Bring home the bacon. Fish-eyed food.
I had to explain to Spring what an idiom was. About their animal sayings that involve cruelty or meanness or killing animals.
I feel like we're having the Christmas Carol discussion right now.
I hear you, girl.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
It's
so
ridiculous.
You got any favorite animal idioms being a DNR officer? Mm. Busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest? That's not really an animal idiom.
No.
Oh, my God.
Killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, that would be
I said that was Springer kills two birds with a half a box of shells. Or a pack of BBs.
Or at least a pack of BBs.
Yeah, at least a pack of BBs. What do we got on the text line? We got any more questions for?
I got this one. I thought it caught my attention. It says, hey, guys, I've worked in the garage door business forever. This is giving you the sheer power of a bear when he really wants to do something in the area of Western North Carolina. And it would freak you out to see the damage a bear can do to a wooden or metal garage door to get inside the garbage.
Yes, yes.
Keeping the garbage inside.
Take it to the garbage dump. Take it to the recycling plant, the landfill, what have you.
But you can't go every day.
Oh, you can. You can take
it. Well, I mean, you can, but
I know it's either that or I don't know. I mean, if they want it, they're gonna get it. They're gonna come in. They're gonna come in your house. They're gonna come in your garage. They're gonna rip the door off your car.
But you were telling us about nuisance calls that you get in. You get them a lot during the summer.
Yes.
Do you get any nuisance geese calls?
Oh.
Yeah.
The Haywood Mall.
Haywood Mall.
Yeah. Skycart, baby.
People don't like Skycart, do they?
No. And because the geese get so thick as they're waddling across the road, the cars can't go by.
Yeah, that sounds like my neighborhood. Yeah. I live over in Simpsonville, and we got a couple of little neighborhood ponds in there. And ducks don't have any, they don't have any sense of, I mean, you can blow the horn all you want, and they just Aflac, keep going.
Miss Amy, I would hate that you would be the game warden where my mom lives, okay? Because she's had a terrible time with geese, she lives right on a pond. They come up on her porch, and, well, you know what they do.
Yeah.
And she's told the DNR down there, and it went on for months, you need to get these geese out here. I'm taking care of them. And she kept on the phone.
Well, she just said within 100 yards of your,
hey,
could you shoot a goose?
No, not a goose. That's waterfowl.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. And that's also federally protected.
Exactly. Yep. And so mom went through a lot of red tape, and finally they said, well, you, Miss Springer, you just, you do what you think you need to do.
Right.
Well, you know what my mom did.
But number one thing is don't call us anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mom was hammering them.
There are permits that you can get from the federal government.
I'm sure.
That you, for geese. And believe it or not, for turkey buzzards.
Wow.
But you have to go through.
Right.
How would somebody have a problem with a buzzard? Because the buzzard's going. Ooh. I can tell you why a buzzard's there.
Right.
Well, of course, a lot of them, they just kind of hang out.
No, they roost on people's houses.
Yeah. Right.
And evidently they're.
That old wives' tale.
Here's a useless piece of knowledge that I learned from a police officer that was stationed across the big pond while he was doing internet searches.
Right.
He said that every night that a buzzard vomits on its feet to kill all the parasites and everything.
I believe it.
Yeah.
So all of that toxic vomit that they're doing, it will eat the shingles and it will melt the shingles and ruin the roof on your house.
Oh.
I've seen in places, Miss Amy, where they've had problems with them roosting on cell phone towers.
Yep, cell phone towers. So there are permits you can go through, but don't do it yourself because that'll get you in a lot of trouble. But if you go through the federal, they actually, I believe at one time they were sending people out to take care of them. By doing, trying to
take care of, you mean like feeding them dead stuff? And
like trying to get them out of that area.
Oh, you talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
Putting some lead in them.
Yeah.
Hammer
or
time.
However they do it. I don't know how they do it.
Actually, buzzards are very interesting animals. Or birds. They're the only, I won't say the only one because somebody out there I have some other one, but they're one of the few birds that have an appreciable sense of smell. Most birds can't smell, but obviously
but that one can.
Obviously, being in the dead meat business, having a sense of smell. But that's what a lot of times you see
they're
them
catching
circling.
Those updrafts.
Yeah, they're scenting.
Right.
And I knew that for a fact. And another reason why a buzzard doesn't have any feathers or anything, it's just got skin on its head, is so all the dead carcass stuff that it eats. That it doesn't catch the bacteria and all that.
Bingo.
It nasty. Dries up,
right,
and falls off.
Yep.
Well, you know that the you never get too close to one of those things because it projectile vomits like The Exorcist.
Really?
That is one of its defense mechanisms.
Would that be a bad day, Sarge?
I've never known that.
Yes, I learned that when I first came to DNR. They were like, I said, well, there's an injured turkey buzzard. They're like, well, you can go. I would call a rehabber, and I said, why? And they were like, they projectile vomit. And I was like, okay, give me that number.
Yeah.
So we appreciate our animal rehabilitators more than they will ever know because they take care of a lot of animals that we don't have the equipment nor anything to be able to deal with.
They don't give you guns anymore?
PG, you can't kill everything.
Huh?
Don't tell my mom that. If it gets to bother her around her house, it's gone, Miss Amy. I'm telling you, it's dead.
Lead solves a lot of problems. Hey, right. Before we go to our break, let's grab that call that's on line
okay.
one.
Okay, all right, hold on. Let me find line one. All right, here we go.
I can't read it from here.
Welcome to Upset Outdoors. It's about some Spartanburg goose. Go ahead, you're live.
Hey, when I was a kid, we had a pool, and we lived on a pond, and the guy across the pond would just dump out loads and loads of bread and crackers and stuff. And we had geese and mallards and muscovies, and those things would come up, and they ate all the flowers around the pool. They'd crap in the pool. They were roosting on the chimney and pooping down the chimney. And my dad finally had enough, and he told me to start shooting them. So I started shooting them as they were in the yard. And the guy across the way called the game warden. He came out, and he was about ready to throw the book at us, and he said, those are federally protected birds. You can't shoot them. I said, they're migratory birds. I said, they don't migrate. They're here year-round.
Yeah.
So he went out to the truck, got this shell, and he shot it out in the middle of the birds on the water. And this thing spun around and spit and carried on. And the birds just kind of looked at it and swam away. And he said, man, them things are barnyard pests. You can do whatever they want.
That's awesome, man. That sounds like something my mom would do.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call there, Eric. Take care. That's good stuff, man. Yeah, you'd get called to my mom's house a lot if you was. Yeah, I swear.
I'd be like, okay, Miss Springer.
Yeah, that's you'd be I'm telling you, after a while it'd be Miss Lucy. That's her first name. You'd be
Lucy.
On first name basis with my mom.
Yeah,
she's always
the Turtle Whisperer. Miss Turtle Whisperer, just whatever.
Yeah,
just do.
Yeah.
You know, we had a big to do in our neighborhood about a snapping turtle, because the snapping turtle bit most of the leg off of one of them ditch ducks, one of them white ducks in my neighborhood. And I follow our neighborhood Facebook page
just simply.
And my wife won't let me. Boat Girl won't let me post on there anymore, because I used to like pull up pictures of snakes and all and put them on there and say,
right.
Oh, I found this in the pond and everything. But, man, they went round and round about, oh, how snapping turtles were, you know, they were just, you know, need to kill them all and everything. And
well, they have to eat, too.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's exactly what I posted.
Let's catch Bill here before we go to break.
That duck needs to swim faster.
Yeah, that's right.
Bill from Lyman Lake, you on? Uh-oh, hold on.
How you doing, buddy?
All right.
Hey, I got two questions.
Yeah.
We obviously have a major goose problem at Lyman Lake, and I have been told by some of the water resource officers there on the lake that they poop 8 ounces a day.
Oh, God.
That's a lot of poop.
No kidding.
Wonder who measures that.
the other thing is the Little Mountain Spartanburg County landfill, the seagulls leave the landfill and come over to the lake about twice a year. They vacation there for a couple of weeks.
Yep.
And can you imagine all the stuff they bring in with them? And my question is is a water turkey, is that the proper term for that bird? We have them on a big power tower over there. Somebody told me, I thought they were some kind of duck, but they called them water turkey.
It's a cormorant. And there is a long and varied, actually on Santee Cooper, those guys down there they got a little more, seemed like they got a little more pull with the legislators. They had a depredation hunt
that
went on for a couple of years, and then some federal judge somewhere says, oh, no, you didn't try enough different ways to, you know, to reason with the water turkey, with the cormorants. And so they stopped that. But, yeah, those, I tell you what, the cormorants are horrible. They eat probably a pound of fish a day, and they will decimate an area.
That's what I've heard. It's called a cormorant. I want to look that up.
Yeah.
It's probably a something cormorant, but they are migratory. But they're like a lot of these other waterfowl and other things from up north. They come down here and like, why do we want to go back? Let's just stay here.
That's true. Well, thanks for the call.
I've been told when we brought back the Canadian geese, and that's man screwing with Mother Nature again, that these hatched birds had no migratory genes or, you know, instinct.
True.
So they're staying here year-round. They're terrible. Y'all try to putt around one on a golf course.
Yeah, putt around one. Well, thanks.
I hear you, Bill. We're going to a break, man. Thanks for the call. And if you want Springer's advice, whack them and stack them.
Yeah. Well, let's go to our break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show with our calendar of events and our parting shot.
Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, Tommy, Amy, PG, stay tuned, and Money Penny, keeping us all straight.
Well, we're not already gone, but we're about there. All we got to do is get the calendar events and the parting shot.
All right, coming down right here tomorrow on December the 9th, a free winter fishing seminar on your favorite subject, PG, with Cabela's pro staffer, Matthew Reed, in our conference room. It's going to be free. All attendees can enter to win a winter drop shot rig class.
I saw Martha Goodfella, and I said, just beat me with a stick.
Exactly. And now the size is limited to the first 30 people, so you need to call today, 864-516-8046, and put in to learn how to drop shot better. Also, don't forget at the Greenville Pick and Speedway, the Holiday Light Show is going on. Philip went over there.
Me and Boat Girl went over here after the parade Sunday.
He got three goats, and I think you got a turkey too, didn't you? We're eating good and large here.
I saw that they got a Santa Claus fishing.
Yeah.
And if it was a little bit further away from the building, we might have that up in the yard.
All right. And coming up next Saturday, it's the Tower Shoot Pheasant Hunt at the Clinton House Plantation. Make a difference for a child at Christmas. And according to Oscar, he still has openings for this. And for more information, contact Oscar at 864-225. Good gosh. Okay, hold on, 225. 8704, or you can contact Oscar at McCurry'sOutboard@bellsouth.net.
And you probably see us down there, because
we'll be down there doing the show. I'm going to be on the downside, Miss Amy, of the tower chute, and let them cripple them up a little
bit.
And I'm going to bang them down. That's my plan. All right.
That's it.
Coming up on January 11th, we got a QDMA, High Cotton QDMA, second annual sportsman banquet, and this will be going down in Union in Veterans Memorial Park Lodge, 3322 Veterans Drive in Union. And you can contact Wesley Pruitt at 864-762-7233 if you're interested in that. There's your calendar events. Short and sweet, baby.
Well.
That look. What kind of look was that, dude? Money Penny, like a cold cobra, baby.
Poor Money Penny. I try to psych her out, and, you know, sometimes my lead-ins are good.
I was
going to give her some kind of lead-in, and it plumb evaded me.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, our parting shot for today, got this off of, rare.us. It was actually, I think, the Outdoor Hub tagged onto it.
Right,
anyway,
it did.
PETA the people for eating tasty animals want you to stop saying bringing home the bacon and more idioms. Now, we've been talking all show about what an idiom is. I also don't like the picture of the bacon they use there because they're burning it in the middle and then it's raw over here.
Yeah, I don't like it fat.
You're cooking it too fast.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it looks like meat eaters can't get a break from vegans and PETA criticizing them for choosing to be carnivores. First, it was the animal crackers behind bars. Then it was the milk drank by white supremacists. I must have missed that one. Now they're arguing that idioms that involve meat products are offending vegans and vegetarians. And here we are. I promise you, I am protecting all the vegetables I can. Cause I'm out shooting deer, and that's a plant's worst enemy.
Exactly. And I'm shooting everything else legally, Amy, that I can shoot.
But apparently vegans aren't following the sticks and stones may break bones, but words will never hurt me motto, arguing that these harmless quirks of the English language are offending animal rights activists, claiming they might end up being avoided altogether as a result. That didn't make no sense.
At all.
All right, anyway.
And I'm the uneducated one here.
According to research by The Conversation, what is that, like The View? Activists explain how meat-based metaphors are a popular staple of everyday vernacular, but an increased awareness in the ethical and environmental issues surrounding meat production will undoubtedly be reflected in our language and literature, meaning that this language may no longer be widely accepted. I'm not even going to read their studies.
I wouldn't, man. You're giving me a headache, dog.
Researchers are claiming that imagery highlights the violent depiction of eating animals, such as beating a dead horse and killing two birds with one stone, suggesting a kinder alternative, such as feeding a fed horse or feeding two birds with one scone. I don't even know what the hell a scone is, except I know it's like a muffin.
Whatever.
Feeding two birds with one muffin.
I'm grinning like a mule eating briars over here.
Anyway, so of course, PETA has backed up these claims, putting their foot in the door when it comes to idioms. For years, the organization has been campaigning for vegan and vegetarian-friendly phrases, urging teachers to not use these terrible, terrible sayings that perpetuate violence toward animals. And I'm going to tell you what. Poor teacher gets caught in the middle. But that's where it's getting, because they're teaching this younger generation
Bingo.
All of this crap.
Garbage.
All this garbage. And they don't know any better. You know, they're like, well, my teacher said so-and-so. Mom, Dad said I'm supposed to go sit there for 8 hours and listen to the teacher. Anyway, let's see. The organization claims that these idioms may seem harmless but carry a meaning that can send mixed signals to students about the relationship between animals and humans that can normalize abuse. Well, and then you go after school and there's some abuse of hamburgers going on and stuff like that, right? Where do you think a hamburger came from?
Exactly.
PETA is urging teachers to use friendly animal language, cultivating a positive relationship between all beings, and help end the epidemic of youth violence toward any animal. Meanwhile, let's talk about the make one, take one, where we're encouraging kids to get out in the woods and shoot some deer.
And kill them and grill them.
Kill them and grill them.
That's right.
That's a big part of what DNR does. Anyway, listen, I mean, it's an outdoor show. Obviously, we're doing this for fun, and these people are idiots. And
big time.
You know, and you're never going to change their mind, but if you know, here's what I'll end this up with. If you know a kid, there are not enough kids out there getting
True.
Exposed to the great outdoors,
True.
To hunting and fishing and the natural resources. And part of that is harvesting these animals, taking them home and eating them and learning about life. And I'm going to tell you what, the people that have done that to me are a whole lot better
Yes.
for this world than what we got.
And let me
Otherwise.
Throw something in real quick. I know almost all our listeners do this anyway. You got small children. They come home from school, pick their brain, see what they're
yeah.
finding out at school.
Oh, yeah.
I know you, Miss Amy.
Oh,
I can see. They taught you what?
Yeah, that's come out of my mouth.
Amazing.
Well, Sergeant Staten, thanks for being on the show today.
Well, you're welcome.
It's been great. Did we have anybody else? We got one guy over here that's telling on himself for killing a great
yeah,
heron.
Yeah, I'm going to read that.
We're not going to read that
I'm
one.
I'm not going to read that on
because they'll
on
put
there.
You under the jail for
yeah.
that.
Now, just some more, busier than a cat on a hot tin roof and things of that sorts. And that's about it. But it's been a great show.
We want to invite our listeners. Really appreciate you listening in. And I don't know how you can come down to the Clinton House next week, but you can listen to the show.
Yep.
And we'll be down there. And we'll find out if Springer really can shoot.
He can shoot.
Or not.
We know he can fish.
So yeah,
we need a report card on this.
Thanks for everyone being here this week. Chris, Miss Amy, I want to thank our sponsors, the Clinton House Plantation, Smoky Dreams Barbecue, Carolina Farm and Wildlife Supply, CNC Indoor Range. Love you, mean it. Talk to you next week.